Kingdom Death, Monster, Dax here. Let us skip the brochure language and find out what actually works. Kingdom Death, Monster is a cooperative campaign-length horror game 1-4 players designed by Adam Poots, where you nurture a fragile settlement of survivors across a 20-30 lantern year campaign, each year cycling through a settlement, hunt, and showdown phase against a monster run entirely by an AI card deck, no GM. Your real character is the settlement, not any one survivor. Invest there, expect death, and treat every hard-won victory as the reward. If this guide helps, using the Amazon links on the page is a simple way to support Puzzlewick at no additional cost to you. What Kingdom Death, Monster is and why 2026 is the year to wake on the plane of stone faces Kingdom Death. Monster, KDM asterisk to everyone who plays it, is a cooperative, campaign-length horror game for 1-4 players, designed by the solo auteur Adam Poots and first released in 2015. You begin as 4 naked survivors standing in absolute darkness on the plain of stone faces, and across a 20-30 lantern year campaign you build a primitive civilization from a glowing lantern and a shard of stone. Each lantern year cycles through 3 phases. The settlement phase: innovate, craft gear from monster parts, resolve story events, raise new survivors; the hunt phase, a board game journey tracking your quarry; and the showdown phase, a tense tactical fight where the monster is run entirely by an AI card deck, no GM, no human opponent. It is famous for 3 things at once: Dark Souls difficulty with permadeath, gallery grade production, 150 plus gear cards, dozens of unassembled minis, and a polarizing aesthetic fusing gothic body horror with sexualized pin-up sculpture, rated 17+. The default campaign is People of the Lantern asterisk. It is, by wide consensus, a asterisk modern masterpiece and also one of the most expensive and demanding things in the hobby. Why now? 2026 is a landmark year. The long-teased Screaming God expansion, first shown back in the record-breaking 2016 Kickstarter, finally began shipping to warehouses in January 2026 with retail targeted mid-2026. The Colossal Gambler's Chest 7 Monsters, the People of the Dream Keeper campaign finished fulfilling in late 2025 and is now retail buyable. One buyer's note: the studio flagged roughly a 25% tariff-driven price increase on expansions, so grab reprints when you see them. Don't pick a faction here, pick a asterisk posture asterisk. Solo storyteller or a table of 4 screaming friends, painter or proud gray plastic player, pick what you love. The dark doesn't care how you arrive, only that you do. Try the prologue free in the community tabletop simulator mod to feel the white lion fight and decide if the system is for you. Decide your posture: solo faster less debate, or a regular table of friends more social drama. Brief everyone on the 17+ content: gore, permadeath, heavy randomness, adult imagery, so nobody is blindsided in session 1. Buy only the core game Kingdom Death, Monster 1.6, it's a complete 20+ Lantern Year campaign, resist expansions entirely for now. Schedule it like a TV series, set a recurring game night because a full campaign is dozens of sessions over weeks or months. First words of the Dark Lantern Year: 1 full turn of the campaign clock, hunt plus showdown plus settlement. Veterans measure their lives in these, not game sessions. Showdown, the set piece monster fight on the big board. How'd your White Lion showdown go? Is the universal opener, and the answer is always a horror story. Quarry versus Nemesis. Quarries are the monsters you hunt: White Lion, Antelope, Phoenix. Nemesis hunt asterisk you butcher King's Man the Hand. Poots slash Poots time: Adam Poots, the solo creator and the affectionate exasperated term for his famously elastic timelines. The threshold etiquette warn newcomers: honestly, this is bleak body horror mature content. Consent and tone setting before the first lantern is part of the etiquette here. You don't spring KDM on anyone. And don't spoil the boxes, the story events, monsters, and the watcher hide behind sealed surprises, and spoiling someone's first reveal is the cardinal sin of the fellowship. On the price, plainly but it's self-contained, a full 20+ Lantern Year campaign with 8 monsters and 150+ gear cards, you are not buying into a starter that needs feeding, you're buying the whole cathedral. Verify the live price before you commit. Tariff increases are nudging everything up in 2026. Try before you wake, given the price and how divisive it is. This is strongly recommended. Play the prologue in the tabletop simulator community mod or find a local group or game cafe with a copy. Watch a teach video alongside it so you know exactly what you're buying into before the box arrives. From the collector's chair: this isn't a purchase, it's a long game. The base box alone is a decade of evenings, and the expansion boxes are bigger than the core. Buy the core, finish it, then talk to me about the Grail shelf. Verdict up front so you can stop asking. Yes, it's worth the money if you have a table that will block out months and a stomach for permadeath. No hard feelings, don't let the price scare you off the feeling. The first time your whole table is on its feet screaming after a clutch kill, that's the thing nobody can put a number on. Come find out. Understand what you're approaching with reverence. Survivors who wake on a plain of stone faces watched and judged by things they cannot comprehend, lean into not understanding. The mystery is the whole point. Shinto shrines sleeving, building and naming, how to get your settlement ready without drowning in gray plastic. KDM's craft has two arms that bleed together, campaign craft and hobby craft. Before either, solve the boring problem that kills more campaigns than any monster logistics. The cards are an unusual square 52x50 tomb size, so generic sleeves won't fit. Get a KDM-specific set, official, sleeve kings or Mayday. Then get an insert folded space, the broken token or Lazarox's asterisk lantern's legend, so setup and teardown become minutes, not a 30-minute scramble. The groups that actually finish KDM are the ones that solved logistics early. That's not a flourish, it's the single most predictive fact about who reaches the endgame. Now the minis. They arrive unassembled and unpainted, a hobby project in itself. You do not need to paint or even fully assemble to play. Use the included bases or tokens as proxies and build monsters only as the campaign calls for them. Don't assemble everything up front and discover you glued a part you can't reach to paint, or built a monster you won't meet for years. When you do build, use plastic cement, not super glue, on the polystyrene and clean the mold lines first with a hobby knife. The famous gray plastic, the asterisk gray tide of unbuilt sprues, is a confession every veteran nods at. Own it without shame. Then the part that turns a board game into a saga, name your survivors. It literally grants +1 survival mechanically, and it gives asterisk you a reason to care when the dark takes them. Keep a settlement journal, names, gear builds, story outcomes, who died how. On the campaign side, mastery is narrative husbandry asterisk, banking insanity to block brain trauma, choosing principles that define your town's morality forever, stacking gear into builds that might just outlast the next nemesis, the lowest acceptable ready bar. Sleeved cards and insert, the prologue red and 4 survivors with names, that's it. The plastic can stay gray. Sleeve every card in KDM specific 52x50 tomb sleeves, official sleeve kings. Or Mayday, generic sleeves do not fit. Buy and load an insert folded space, broken token or Lazarox, so trays pull straight to the table at setup. Read the 1.6 rulebook's onboarding. Then assemble only the survivors and the white lion you need for the prologue. If building, use plastic cement, not super glue, and clean the mold lines with a hobby knife first. Name all 4 starting survivors, it grants +1 survival each and ties you to them emotionally. Start a settlement journal, notebook, or printable sheet, and photograph the boards between sessions to resume cleanly. Words of the workbench, gray plastic, the gray tide, unbuilt, unpainted sprues. Most tables push gray monsters around for years, and admitting yours are still gray earns a knowing nod. Insanity slash brain damage, insanity is a resource you asterisk want, it blocks brain trauma. Brain damage and disorders are the scars survivors carry forever. Disorder, a permanent psychological affliction, fear of the dark, hoarder, squires of the citadel that players treasure, a survivor's disorders are their personality. Principle, a settlement-defining moral choice locked in forever, survival of the fittest versus protect the young, graves versus cannibalize. The craft code on your gray plastic without shame and never gatekeep someone for not having painted. Everyone's backlog is a mountain. Flip side, help assemble, don't mock the assembly. The minis are notoriously fiddly. Veterans hand a newbie clippers and patience, not judgment. The workbench is a place of welcome, not a hazing ground. Painting your first monster crossing from gray plastic player to hobbyist by finishing even one model is a genuine rite of passage. The painting side of the community celebrates it loudly. The miniatures are gallery grade, and many veterans never cross this line at all. You don't have to, but when you do, you'll feel the fellowship lean in. It counts. The logistics kit that saves campaigns beyond sleeves and an insert, a large neoprene playmat or the official 2x3 showdown board protector to keep minis from sliding. A dedicated dice tray and quality D10s, token trays for the dozens of status and resource tokens, and card dividers for the huge gear library so crafting doesn't grind to halt hunting one card. Cheap insurance, expensive regret. The $30 on sleeves and $60 on an insert is the best money you'll spend on this game. It's the difference between a campaign you finish and a box you reshelve at Lantern Year 4. Post your gray plastic anyway. The community trades painting tips and homebrew and still unbuilt lol photos all day. Nobody's judging, everybody's been there. Show us your settlement. Name them now before the first fight. I know it feels silly naming a little plastic person and then round 3 happens and you understand exactly why we told you to. Blunt assembly verdict, build as you go, never all at once. I've watched people glue an entire box in a weekend and then meet half those monsters never. Clip what the prologue needs, stop there. How Lantern Year actually plays. The settlement hunt showdown loop and the art of dying well, one full loop, settlement then hunt then showdown is one Lantern Year. The base campaign is roughly 20 of them with expansions up to 30. Here's the truth that reorders everything, your real character is the settlement, not any single survivor. Individuals are expendable, the campaign only ends when settlement population hits 0. You play to keep the community producing strong survivors. The settlement phase is your civilization's heartbeat. develop innovations, lock in principles and milestones, resolve story and settlement events, and crucially, raise new survivors via intimacy. Roll a 7 to 8 on the augury table and your settlement makes a child. The hunt phase is its own mini board game. You advance along the hunt board drawing random events, good and bad, that buff or cripple survivors before the fight. Treat it as pre-fight loadout. The showdown is partly won or lost before contact. Then the showdown with no GM and no human opponent. The monster acts through its AI deck, pick target, move, attack, so you can run the whole game solo by controlling all four survivors. To wound, you beat the monster's evasion, then draw a hit location card that determines the outcome, including asterisk, dangerous, failure, reactions, and counterattacks. This is why positioning is half the fight. Move into the white lion's blind spot for +1 accuracy and to dodge its worst grabs. Survival is your precious second currency, spend it on dodge, start here, then dash, encourage, surge, endure as you unlock them. Don't hoard it and die with points unspent. Don't burn it all early and have nothing to dodge a fatal blow. The etiquette is baked into the mechanics. Let people die, the deaths are the story, and a settlement with no graves has no soul. Respect the table's principles. Whether you bury or cannibalize your dead, those moral votes are sacred. You roleplay them, you don't silently min-max past them. Run the first story prologue as Lantern Year Zero. It's the mandatory tutorial for the AI deck. Hit locations, movement, attacking, and dodging. Read each monster's AI deck before engaging. KDM monsters are puzzles, not random brawlers. Learn which cards trigger devastating reactions. Use blind spots and positioning. Flank the white lion for +1 accuracy and avoid standing where one move and grab scatters your whole party. Manage survival deliberately. Open with dodge, keep a reserve for fatal blows, and never die with unspent points. Way hit V's wound. Against failure-triggered counterattacks, a clean miss can be safer than a hit that fails to wound. Match weapon speed versus strength to the monster. Keep raising and equipping new survivors so one bad showdown doesn't end the settlement. Words of the fight: severe injury, bleeding out, hit location cards that maim mid-fight, ruptured spleen, broken arm, dismembered. She's bleeding means someone's about to roll on the worst table in the game. Intimacy slash augury, the mechanic that births new survivors. Roll 7 to 8 and your settlement makes a baby, the only real hope against permadeath. The hand, the phantom force that drags survivors into the dark in the prologue and gallows shorthand. The hand got him. The watcher, the cosmic horror sleeping inside your lantern hoard, the thing your settlement is unknowingly built upon. The mechanics are the manners, let people die, the first instinct is to save, scum every death, but the deaths are the story and a settlement with no graves has no soul. Respect the table's principles. Whether your town cannibalizes or buries its dead, those moral votes are sacred. You roleplay them, you don't quietly min-max past them. The etiquette isn't a separate rulebook, it's wired into how the game already works. Read the deck, then move. KDM monsters or asterisk puzzles. Before you commit a survivor, know which AI and hit location cards trigger the devastating reactions, and play to avoid drawing them on bad positioning. Against a monster with failure-triggered counterattacks, weigh hit versus wound carefully. A clean miss can be genuinely safer than a hit that fails to wound and invites the return attack. Your first white lion, honestly expect 12 brutal rounds. Expect a survivor dead by round 3 and another to become the lion's obsessive target. Don't attack from the front, many of its reactions are failure-triggered counterattacks, so flanking into its blind spot grants +1 accuracy and dodges the worst grabs. Victory often comes from a single late critical hit. That's not bad luck, that's the prologue working. One precise correction I make constantly: insanity is good. New players try to keep survivors sane, but insanity blocks brain trauma, and a survivor at 3+ insanity is harder to break, even if it warps their event choices. Bank it, there is grace in the loss. A solo triumph undone when a random earthquake swallows your survivor, that maddening, authentic drama is the game telling its own story through you. Honor it. Shinto Shrine hard verdict on saves coming. Purists hate it, every real table does it quietly, and I genuinely don't care which you pick. Play it how you want, nobody's checking your dice, just don't lecture the table that does it differently. The clutch round 12 crit that finally drops the lion, that's the moment everyone stands up screaming. Long campaigns are built from exactly those peaks, ride them. Builds the meta and the bright line. How to play like a veteran without becoming the jerk. Veteran KDM is a different game played on the same board. The shift in thinking is from can we kill it asterisk to can the settlement keep producing strong survivors. That reframes the whole edge. Think in builds, not heroes. Specialize survivors around your crafted gear, a tank and heavier armor, a high-accuracy striker, and design the gear grid so synergies stack. A favorite survivor isn't a hero to protect. They're a asterisk build to optimize and a replaceable one. Plan the campaign arc, not just the next fight. Principles, innovations, and milestones are long-horizon decisions that quietly determine whether you survive Node 3 and Node 4 quarries and the finale. The late game is won in early settlement votes. And build a bench because death is constant. Keep raising and equipping fresh survivors so a single wipe doesn't end the settlement. Mechanically, mastery is narrative husbandry meets optimization. Bank Insanity to dodge brain trauma, Wei hit V's wound against each monster's reaction profile, treat the hunt phase as pre-fight loadout, and respect that positioning is half of every fight. Match weapon speed against strength to the monster you're facing. Spamming high-speed low-strength weapons at the White Lion just buys you more return attacks. Now the bright line. Every game has its win-at-all-costs jerk archetype, and in KDM it wears two faces. One is the silent min-maxer who steamrolls the table's sacred principles. Those moral votes on Graves versus Cannibalize are roleplay you commit to, not optimization you bypass. The other is the spoiler, the player who's read the wiki and ruins someone's first asterisk watched asterisk trigger or first nemesis. Both are crossing the line. The edge is welcome here, the jerk is not. You can be the best player at the table and still hand a newbie the clippers, warn them honestly about the tone, and let the dark surprise them. Specialize survivors around crafted gear, tank, striker, and design the gear grid so synergy stack builds, not heroes. Plan long horizon. Weigh every principle, innovation, and milestone against the Node 3, Node 4 quarries and finale to come. Maintain a survivor bench. Always be raising and equipping fresh survivors so a wipe doesn't end the campaign. Match weapon profiles to each monster's reaction deck speed versus strength, and use blind spots for accuracy. Bank Insanity deliberately to harden survivors against brain trauma in the late game. Hold the bright line, never silently override the table's principles and never spoil a sealed reveal to look clever. The veteran reframes stop asking, can we kill this monster, and start asking, can the settlement keep producing strong survivors? Specialize around gear, design the grid for synergy, and treat your favorite survivor as a build to optimize rather than a hero to protect. The campaign is won in the settlement votes, not the showdowns. Principles, innovations, and milestones are the long game. Words of the Hall save scumming slash retcon, quietly re-rolling a brutal death or rolling back a session, officially frowned on by purists, quietly universal at real tables. Pinups of death, the controversial sexualized pinup sculpt line, separate from the game proper, veterans handle the topic with a been there sigh, and it's a mature horror game, not for everyone. Insanity, at the edge, a deliberately banked resource that hardens survivors against brain trauma in the deep campaign. The line you don't cross, respect the table's principles even when min-maxing past them would win, those moral votes are sacred and you roleplay them, not silently optimize them away. And don't spoil the boxes, spoiling a first asterisk watched asterisk, a first nemesis, or a sealed story event to flaunt your knowledge is the cardinal sin. The edge is fair, the jerk is the one who wins by erasing someone else's first time. Run the table without running it, there's no GM, so the strongest player becomes the rules shepherd. Learn the showdown sequence and event flow cold so the table isn't flipping the rulebook mid-fight. Pace turns gently to fight analysis paralysis and agree a house ruling policy, rules as written versus table consensus, up front so a dispute doesn't derail a tense showdown. The exact tell of a good veteran. They read the hit location and AI decks before committing a survivor, and they know that against failure-triggered counterattacks, a clean miss beats a hit that fails to wound. Precision, not bravado. Black nib the long game view, your gear grid is an investment portfolio. Don't chase the flashy weapon, build synergies that compound over 15 lantern years. The settlements that survive the finale plan for it at year 5. Best veterans I know are also the warmest hosts, they hand the newbie the clippers, warn them about the tone, and zip it on the watcher. That is the flex. Knowledge you protect, not weaponize. On the pinups debate, handle it the way the old hands do, a been there sigh, and honest, it's a mature horror game, not for everyone, and respect for whoever opts out. Maturity is part of mastery. Shinto shrine the unwritten code, the rites, and the found family you survive the dark with, strip away the gorgeous monsters and the cruel dice, and KDM is a found family machine. A settlement isn't a roster, it's a lineage you build back to back in the dark with no culture, no memory, and no one to fall back on but each other in game and at the table. You name survivors after your friends. You grieve them together when the hand drags them off. You celebrate the first child born like it's your own future. The sheer time investment, dozens of lantern years across months of real evenings, means the people you play with become the people you've asterisk survived something with. The ethos underneath it all is born from nothing existentialism crossed with berserk-grade body horror and gallows humor. You laugh because the alternative is to weep when a cursed statue one-shots your survivor for a whole three paragraphs. Adam Poots is the revered solo auteur whose it's done when it's done perfectionism made backers wait the better part of a decade for the gambler's chest, and the community trusts him precisely because the work is uncompromised. There's an inside joke fluency around the gray plastic backlog, the fiddly assembly, the pinups controversy, and the dice that betray you. But under the irony is genuine awe, a sealed box of unknown story events, a watcher sleeping under your settlement, a moral vote on whether to bury or eat your dead. The unwritten code is simple and sacred. Name them, you'll need a reason to mourn them. Let them die, the deaths are the story, don't spoil the boxes. Respect the table's principles, own your gray plastic without shame. Don't flake on Lantern Year 12, that's abandoning family mid-saga, And when you host, lean into the storytelling, keep a settlement chronicle, honor the gut punches, get the whole table screaming after a clutch kill. You don't beat kingdom death, you endure it together. That's the bond, welcome to the fold. Host with intention, bring food, block out a real evening, and treat the campaign as a commitment to the group. Keep a settlement chronicle, log survivor names, gear builds, story outcomes, and the who died how history so the saga outlives the campaign. Lean into the drama, name survivors, narrate disorders and disfigurements and deaths, and honor the gut punches. Protect continuity, bag and label decks, photograph the settlement and gear grids, and resume cleanly weeks later. Warn every newcomer honestly about the tone before the first lantern, then welcome them all the way in. Share your stories outward, trade campaign sagas, homebrew, and painting tips with the wider community. The unwritten code: name your survivors. A nameless survivor is a stat block. A named one is a person you'll grieve, and it's plus one survival. Let people die, the deaths are the story. A settlement with no graves has no soul. Don't spoil the boxes. Respect the table's principles. Own your gray plastic without shame and never gatekeep. Don't flake on Lantern Year 12, that's abandoning a family mid-story. Warn newcomers honestly about the bleak, mature content. Consent before the first lantern is part of the etiquette. The rites of passage: surviving your first white lion, barely, with someone disemboweled and someone dragged into the dark, is your true initiation. Nobody walks away unscathed. Your first named survivor's death is the moment KDM stops. Being a board game, your first child born reframes the campaign from a roster into a bloodline. Meeting the Watcher lands the cosmic scale. Finishing a full People of the Lantern campaign is genuine veteran status, very few groups ever do. Total settlement wipe is a war story you earn, and surviving the Kickstarter wait on Poot's time is its own badge of belonging. The soul of the dark, your people woke on the plane of stone faces, watched and judged by things they can't comprehend, sitting on a lantern horde that's really a sleeping watcher's cocoon. It is asterisk the most beautiful and the most brutal thing in the hobby at once, gallery-grade minis, fused to an engine designed to maim and bury the people you love. The despair is the point. The deaths are the narrative. The only real victory is that you and your friends keep coming back to the dark together. Hosting the long saga, run the prologue as a guided teach, narrate, pick target, move, attack, hit location, draws, survival actions so first-timers feel the system instead of drowning. Manage the highs and lows, honor the gut punches without letting one brutal random event sour the night. Pace turns to fight analysis paralysis. And settle a house ruling policy up front so a tense showdown doesn't fracture the table. Feeding the fold: campaign nights are long, so lean in. A slow cooker stew or chili keeps the table fed without breaking session. Monster meat skewers and jerky for the butchering theme. Lantern Glow Amber Snacks, Honey Glazed Nuts, Golden Popcorn, Founding Stone Rock Candy, and Brain or Organ Gummies for laughs whenever a survivor takes brain trauma. A grim signature drink named after the campaign's current nemesis makes a fine running tradition. The long view, last word: this becomes a lifelong collection and craft project, not a game you finish and shelve. Limited exclusives, expansion boxes bigger than the core, a gray tide you'll chip at for years. That's not a warning, that's the whole joy. Keep the journal, remember the dead by name. The stories outlive the campaign, and telling them right is how you honor what your settlement endured. That reverence is the soul of this fellowship. And that's it, you're in. You came to the lantern a stranger, and you're leaving with a name, a settlement, and a fellowship that's lost everything you're about to lose. We've got you. Welcome to the dark, friend. Final blunt verdict: no flattery. It's bleak, it's mature, it's punishingly expensive, and it's not for everyone, and once you're hooked, nothing else hits the same. That's not hype. That's the honest review. Go survive it. Final verdict. Here's the blunt truth: kingdom death. Monster is wildly expensive, genuinely punishing, deliberately disturbing, and not for everyone, and it is one of the greatest things you can put on a table. They will. But you've read the whole journey, now initiate. You know the deaths are the story, you know to name your survivors before you mourn them, and you know the plastic stays gray until you're ready. That's all the permission you needed. Pull up a chair to the lantern, you're one of us now. Welcome to the dark. Frequently asked questions: can I play Kingdom Death Monster solo? Yes, and many people do. Because the monster runs itself via the AI and hit location decks. No GM, no human opponent. One person can control all four survivors. Solo is asterisk faster, less table debate, and most events include notes for solo play. It's marginally better with multiple players for the social drama, but solo is a first-class way to experience it. Some report finishing a campaign in around 30 hours. How long does a campaign actually take? A full base campaign runs roughly 50 to 160 hours across many sessions. Early lantern years are about 1 to 2 hours each, including setup teardown. Later years stretch past 2 hours. Most groups play it like a TV series over weeks or months. Solo players tend to finish faster. Are the miniatures painted or assembled? Neither. They come unpainted and unassembled as hard plastic kits, which is a hobby project in itself. You don't have to paint or even fully assemble to play. Use the included bases or tokens as proxies and build minis as the campaign needs them. If you do assemble, use plastic cement, not super glue, and clean the mold lines first. Is it really as hard as people say? Yes, it's regularly compared to Dark Souls. Prologue alone can kill survivors, randomness, dice, cards, story events can wreck a run, and permadeath plus zero population ends the campaign means losses are constant. The intended mindset is to asterisk expect death, protect the settlement rather than individuals, and treat hard-won victories as the reward to learn how to die well. Why is the art so mature and is the game right for my group? KDM is rated 17+ and deliberately blends gothic body horror with sexualized pinup sculpture and grim themes. It's polarizing and a frequent point of criticism. Brief your group on the gore, permadeath, randomness, and adult imagery before session 1. It's not a game to spring on younger or sensitive players unannounced. That consent is part of the etiquette. Which expansion should I buy first? The huge Gambler's Chest and 2026's Screaming God are veteran endgame content. Finish a base campaign before buying anything. What's new for Kingdom Death in 2026? The headline is the Screaming God expansion, teased back in 2016, finally shipping to warehouses in January 2026 with retail targeted around mid-2026. It's a 2XL, 2-monster late-game expansion, the Lantern Parasite Queen plus the finale tier Screaming God plus 5 Lantern Years. Also, the Giant Gambler's Chest finished fulfilling in late 2025 and is now retail buyable. Fan-favorite reprints, Sunstalker, Gorm circulate, and the studio flagged roughly 25 tariff-related cost increases on expansions. Yes, strongly recommended given the price and how divisive it is. There's a well-maintained tabletop simulator community mod where you can play the prologue, and many reviewers suggest finding a local group or game cafe with a copy first. Watch a teach/playthrough creators like Quackalope so you know exactly what you're buying into. Do I need to sleeve and organize it, or is that optional? Practically essential for a game you'll own for years. The cards are shuffled and handled constantly, so sleeve them in KDM-specific 52x50 tomb sleeves. The cards are an unusual square size. An insert folded space broken token Lazarox turns brutal setup teardown into minutes. The groups that actually finish KDM are usually the ones that solved logistics early. What is the actual goal? How do I win? Your goal is to keep the settlement alive, and ultimately complete the asterisk People of the Lantern campaign by defeating the Gold Smoke Knight after 20 Lantern Years. The campaign ends only when settlement population hits zero, so individual survivors are expendable. You win by keeping the community producing strong survivors. Naming survivors grants +1 survival and ties you to them, but the settlement, not any one person, is your real character.